The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 30. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Andy. We're looking at the topic of peace today, but before we do that, I thought I would just tell you a bit about where I'm at the moment, and a situation where I've been finding it hard to find peace. I've started on the journey of looking at becoming a lay reader. You might wonder what a lay reader is. According to our diocesan website, lay readers are people who feel a calling to a ministry of preaching, teaching, and leading congregations. It's different to being a priest in that you're not ordained, but you do a lot of the same stuff. It's a national role, as in it's recognised nationally by the Church of England, and it involves doing a couple of years of study, doing some theological study and training. So a few weeks back, I kind of stepped onto the treadmill of what they call a discernment process, where I have to talk to people from the diocese, and they have to kind of have conversations with me and judge, really, whether they're happy to recommend me for this training. And so this is why I was not really feeling very at peace about it, because it's not very nice, or it's not very easy, is it, to sort of submit yourself to being tested and being judged, and they're lovely, lovely people, but nevertheless, that's what they're doing. They're just checking out, do they like me? Do they like my situation? Are they happy to recommend me? And that's quite anxiety-provoking, as I'm sure you can imagine, if you've ever kind of gone for a job interview or tried to get on a course, you know, and you've got to get certain grades, or, you know, and that kind of feeling is what I was sitting with. And then this topic came up for me to plan for today, And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to talk about peace, even though I'm not really feeling it. I've got baggage as well. I've got past disappointments. You know, you don't get to my age without having some of them. A few years back, some of you may know, I had a look at ordination. Again, another long process involved in that, even longer process if you're interested in that. I didn't get very far with that. I had a few conversations with, you know, the people who do this sort of thing. And between us, I decided and they decided that it wasn't the right way forward for me. And I'll take some response. You know, that was partly my decision as well as theirs, but it was still really, really upsetting. It was still really difficult. It was quite bruising. Now, that was 3 years ago, or three, maybe 4 years ago even. Well, I've got that baggage, you know, I've already been kind of down a similar process and it didn't work out. And what if the same thing happens again? And all of that kind of thinking that goes on for you when you're in the middle of something like that. That's where I'm at. I'm a bit more at peace at the moment, I think. I've found a slightly better place than I was in a few weeks ago. And you'll have your own situations that make it hard for you to find peace. And so many things can disrupt our peace in our lives, can't they? Whatever it is, things that aren't going well in the world, things that aren't going well in your life. Your washing machine breaks. Your friend dies. You know, just everything can sometimes feel like it's going wrong and it can make it really hard for us to find peace. Well, let's have a look and see if we can kind of learn together a bit about how we do find peace, how we do find that fruit of the Holy Spirit that will grow in us if we let it to. Can you put the PowerPoint back up for me? Thank you. So we've remembered what are the fruits of the Spirit. They're not coming up. Maybe I'll turn it on. Will that help? There we go. Okay. Okay, we're talking about peace. In our passage today, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and one of the themes in this passage is about peace. Now, the context of this, where this comes in Jesus' life and ministry, is on Maundy Thursday, which is the day before he dies. So it's a really significant day. I don't know if you remember when we were looking at Holy Week during Lent and Stephen was talking about Maundy Thursday and all the things that happened on that day. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He's shown what being a servant leader is all about. Then they've had the Last Supper. He's given them a meal to remember him by. And now he's giving them a parting gift. He promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. This is a kind of a new idea for them. They may have encountered the Holy Spirit to a certain extent, but really they've been walking with Jesus himself, the human Jesus, walking around, eating with him day by day, going on walks, preaching, teaching, watching miracles. They've been with him all the time. He's not going to be with them all the time after this. He might appear to them. He does appear to them after the resurrection. But fundamentally, they're not going to be with him anymore in the way that they have been. They probably haven't worked this out yet, but Jesus knows this. And he wants to tell them, I'm not leaving you. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit will not just walk alongside you on the road. He will be in you. This is my Spirit living in you. And although you won't see me in the flesh, I will be with you. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. An advocate is a person who might come along with you to a law court to sort of speak up on your behalf. But sometimes it's translated as a helper or a supporter or a counselor. There's quite a lot of different ways that that word is translated. The advocate will help you and will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So this is the gift that he leaves them with. He's not abandoning them, although it might feel like it. He's leaving them with the Holy Spirit. And of all the fruits of the Spirit, the thing he most leaves them with is peace. Out of all those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and so on, the thing that he thinks that they will most need at this point in time, when they're about to go through a really traumatic weekend, they're about to witness his death, and it's a really gruesome death, they're going to need peace. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace in your thinking and heart. I wonder even if Jesus was sort of almost speaking to himself, because he needed peace as well, didn't he? When we see him later on that evening in the garden in Gethsemane, he is not at peace. He is full of anxiety and full of fear. And then when we see him facing his accuser, facing Pilate, there's a sense of peace about him. So maybe this is a prayer he's kind of got for himself as well, I don't know. But he certainly is a gift that he's leaving to his disciples. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of peace is for us as well when we follow Jesus. So, oh, that's not quite come up right. It should say, what prevents us having peace? So I'd like you to do a bit of work here. I've got some post-it notes. And I'd like you to have a think about what are the things that prevent you from having peace. And you can think whatever scale you want. You can think about kind of what prevents the world having peace, situations in the world. You can think about yourself, yourself, what gets in the way of you having peace. And I'd like to invite you to get together with maybe a bunch of you, three or four of you together, and write down maybe three or four post-it notes with just a few things. You only have to write one word on each post-it note if you want. And we're looking for things that get in the way of peace. What stops you having peace? So I wonder if someone can give some of these out. You probably need a bunch of post-it notes each and a pen. And then we're going to put them on a... Thank you. Yeah, just don't need that. Just give some out. And we're going to pop them up when you've written your words down. We're going to bring them all up and we're going to put them on a poster here, Barriers to Peace. So you can do this on your own or you can get together with a small group. It's up to you. But what I'd like at the end is a whole collection of things that get in the way of peace on here. And we'll see what we've got. If you can see someone sitting on their own, invite them to join your group. Have the music group got some? Who's sitting there not asking for any? So as soon as you've got a few different ideas, you don't need to have lots and lots, can you nominate someone to bring them up to the front, please, and stick them on our poster? Things that prevent peace. Right, you must have some ideas by now. Thanks. Anita Vince has got one behind you. Yeah, pop them on there, thank you. Thanks, Matthew. Do you want me to take them? Can I stick them up? Thank you. Thanks. I'm not going to read all of these. Yeah, we'll try. So we've got illness, resentment, feelings of helplessness, hatred, more illness, yeah, worry, absolutely. There's a few I'm not going to read out. I don't want to start debates. But you know what you've put. War, family problems, all of these things get in the way of us having peace, don't they? What else have we got? We've got noise. Yeah, of course, noise disturbs our peace. Fighting. Listening? Okay. Situations we've got no control over, yeah. Can feel really kind of lost when that's the case. Worries, anxieties, stress. Other people. People disturb our peace, don't they? Husband? That wasn't mine. Waiting for results, yeah. Waiting for, whether it's medical results, exam results, really disturbs our peace, doesn't it? Overthinking, debt, money worries, yeah. There are so many things that get in the way of us having peace, aren't there? That's life. It's part of life that things get in the way of peace. I've got another job for you now, so listen. Okay, we've done that one. Okay, my next question for you is, I hope you've got some post-it notes left. What is peace? What words do you associate with peace? So we're going to create an opposite poster over here. What is peace? When do you feel at peace? When do you get peace in your life? So if you could do the same thing again and fill out some more post-it notes, and if you've run out, I'm sure we can find some for you. This time, we're writing some words for peace, and we're going to put them on this board over here. Having a bath. Oh, I feel at peace in the bath as well. Time alone. That can be nice and peaceful, can't it? It is for me anyway. Fishing. Oh, yeah, that's really... Oh, my goodness. Don't worry.
Sorry.
No, I'd need to... Only a candle. It'll be fine. Right. Put it on carefully. Yeah. Children at school. I remember that. I remember handing the kids off, dropping the kids off at school and going, I was wondering what you were doing on that. Joy, love. These are all words that we associate with peace. Thanks, John. No fighting, an absence of conflict and fighting. What else have we got? Security. Health. Music. Generosity. All of these things give us peace, serenity, calm, happiness. We talked about joy last week, didn't we? Oh, do you know what's lovely? It's seeing that there's more and more people bringing up words to go on this one than there were the last one. That's nice. Holidays, yeah. Depends what kind of holidays you have as to whether they're peaceful or not, doesn't it? Depends what you like doing, but if it's lying by the pool, in the sunshine. Oh, that could be on here, retirement, maybe, for some of you. Finishing work on a Friday afternoon, feeling at peace. Lovely. Thank you for all your ideas. So let's gather our thoughts then about peace. And let's think about what God's peace is about. What is God's peace? What is the fruit of the Spirit that we call peace? I'm going to carry on with that verse I read a bit of from our reading before. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a peace the world cannot give, is a gift the world cannot give. There's something different, there's something bigger or different about the peace that Jesus gives and the Holy Spirit gives us. So don't be troubled or afraid. So what's that about? In what way is this different to the peace that what we've written about? Or maybe some of it is the same. Maybe some of it is on here. Let's find out. There's a word for peace in the Bible, and you might have heard of it in Hebrew. It's shalom. Have you heard of shalom? It means a bit more than what the English word peace means. Sometimes there's not a direct translation from one language to another. And this is one of those situations where shalom doesn't exactly mean what we mean by peace. It's close. It's the closest word we have, but it's not quite the same. Shalom in the Bible, and that's the Hebrew in the Old Testament, so that's what they would have been familiar with. Although the New Testament's in Greek, there's another word in Greek. We don't need to go there. Shalom. It means a sense of wholeness. Not just being at peace, but being whole, being having integrity. It means a sense of health, of being well, of prosperity, of having enough, of having all the things that you need. We talked about some of our worries, didn't we? Some people mentioned, you know, debt and worries about health. Shalom is a gift that encompasses all of that. It means a sense of well-being, an absence of conflict. That fits with what we would mean by peace. It's a friendly greeting. It's the word that they would say, peace be with you, as a way of saying hello. And it's this sense of deep, lasting peace that's perhaps a bit more than what we mean when we use the English word peace. In fact, as I was thinking about this, I noticed that all of the fruits of the Spirit are kind of worldly stuff, but bigger and better. We talked about love. It's easy to love our friends and our families and to think about people that we love. But God asks us to love strangers, to welcome them. God asks us to love our enemies. The kind of love that God gives us and grows in us with the fruit of the Spirit is a bigger and more challenging and more immense love than what we mean when we talk about it in worldly terms. We talked about joy last week, and do you remember we talked about the difference between happiness and joy? There are lots of things that make us happy. But joy is a deeper and bigger kind of thing where we can feel joy even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And it's the same as we come to peace. The peace that the Holy Spirit grows in us is a bigger and deeper and more incredible thing even than the peace that the world gives. Because we can find that peace whatever our circumstances. I don't need to wait until I kind of find out whether I've been accepted onto this training to find peace. I can find it now because the Holy Spirit will grow that in me. So we've kind of noticed, maybe you've noticed three different kinds of peace. There's an outer peace, a kind of peace and quiet. You know, people have talked about, you know, it's quiet when the kids are at school, when there's no war, things like that, the kind of outer peace, when there's a peace around us. And then we've talked about inner peace. People have talked about feeling relaxed, feeling calm, feeling peace inside you. That's a wonderful thing as well. All of these are good things. And then there's what we might think of as spiritual peace, or the fruits of the Spirit kind of peace, shalom, which is about wholeness. It's about well-being. It's about being right with God. And it's about having a connection to that, having a sense of that, no matter what else is going on around you. In the Bible, Paul writes a letter to the Philippians, and he calls it the peace that passes all understanding. I would encourage you to kind of grow your imagination. We might still never be able to quite imagine what God's peace is like, but it's always more. God can always do more than we can imagine. He can always give us peace in the most middle of the most awful situations. Let's kind of at least grow our imaginations to be able to start to believe that. So how do we find God's peace? So this is a bit more of that verse that I just read. So this is what Paul suggests in his letter to the Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Oh, well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Don't worry about anything. I mean, we can try, can't we? But the reality is we are going to worry. So what do we do? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. It's okay to tell God what you need. It's okay to tell God, I'm really anxious. I really want a good result from my health, you know, my health checkup that's coming. I really want this to work out. I really want my family to be healthy. I really want everyone to get along. It's okay to tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. That can really help. Just remind us that what God has done already. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And when we are living in Christ Jesus, it is possible for us to experience that level of peace that might seem impossible by worldly situations. So for me, in my situation, how do I find peace? I remind myself that my outward context is less important than who I am in Jesus. And whatever label I might have or whatever label other people might give me, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that I'm a child of God and that he's asked me to follow him and I'm trying to follow him. And I might get it wrong or I might, you know, it might not go the way I think it should go. But that doesn't matter because he loves me. And nothing can shake that. That love can't be shaken. And whatever your situation, your fears, your disappointments, none of that changes who you are as a child of God either and a follower of Jesus. And the gift he gives you today is that gift of peace, a peace that passes all understanding. You might not understand him, but you might not understand it, but it is there for all of us. And I want to encourage you to receive that gift or more of that gift and let it grow in you as a fruit growing on the tree. And know that that's there for you. After the next song, we're going to have a time of receiving God's peace, receiving shalom, to receive some healing and wholeness for us. So before we sing, I'll just explain to you what the options are for you, so you know what to expect and you can have a think about what you want to do. First of all, we're going to do some anointing. Now, we don't normally do that in this church, so let me just explain what anointing is. In the Bible, it says, "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord." The oil of anointing is a symbol of God's healing work. And let's think about healing in that broad sense, in that shalom sense. If there's anything that you want to bring to God and you want to ask for healing or wholeness, it could be your worries, your anxieties, it could be specific health issues, or anything, because we all need more wholeness, right? So if you'd like to do that, Joan will be here with some oil, and you can come and receive that. It'll be just a little dab of oil on your hand. Okay. Then the other option is we've got some candles here. Maybe you want to light a candle to pray for peace. It might be, it might be a prayer for peace in the world, peace in your situation. Maybe you want to light a candle for Mary and her family as well. You don't have to choose. You can do everything. You can do both things. So you're invited to light a candle if you would like to, as a symbol of your prayers for peace. And then thirdly, if you would like some personal prayer, if you would like someone to pray with you, then Bob will be sat over here and would be very happy to spend a few minutes praying with you. You don't need to kind of give him a long story about what the prayer is for. Just a few words, and then he will pray a short prayer. I'm going to be wandering around doing all three of those things for anybody who doesn't, it's not easy to get up and move about. So if you don't want to get up and move about, but you'd like me to come to you, I will come to you and either pray with you or anoint you, or I've even got some candles that we can light. Okay, so if it's not easy or comfortable to get up and move around, then just kind of wave at me and I'll come to you. So that's what we're going to be doing after this next song, as a way for us to find some peace and invite the Holy Spirit into us, into our lives, and grow that fruit of peace and wholeness. But before then, we're going to sing a song. This song is "Holy Spirit, We Welcome You." And I'd invite you to stay seated while we sing this. We're welcoming the Holy Spirit and inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us. And to do that, it might help you to hold your hands open like this in front of you. It's not magic. It's not like you're trying to catch the Holy Spirit. But sometimes when we do something with our bodies, it helps us to our hearts to be open as well. So if that helps you, I'd invite you to do that.